WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Family and friends of the suspect in the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk say they believe he was radicalized in the dark corners of the internet. CBS's Andres Gutierrez.
22-year-old Tyler Robinson is not cooperating with law enforcement. His family and those that are close to him are cooperating, and in particular, his roommate, who is also his romantic companion.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are meeting in Israel in the wake of last week's surprise attack targeting Hamas negotiators in Qatar.
The U.S.-Israeli relationship is very strong. It continues to be strong.
The Pitt, Stephen Colbert, and Seth Rogen's The Studio, big winners at last night's Emmy Awards on CBS. Rogen spoke when he accepted.
The way that we make this show, everyone really has to come together in sort of a glorious fashion. And so thank you all for your hard work. This would not be possible without all of you.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Superman and Lex Luthor teaming up together? What is this world coming to? Before you know it, cats and dogs will be living together. Variety has announced that the sequel for this summer's hit Superman is in motion. If you thought the first one was a spectacle, the follow-up promises an even bigger nemesis will face off against the unlikely duo. James Gunn's Superman, starring David Corenswet, made $613 million worldwide and was a big first swing for the DC Universe, a company where Gunn currently serves as co-CEO. James Gunn says the sequel will be as much a Lex Luthor film as it will be a Superman film. The director says he loved working with Nicholas Hoult, who played Luthor, and really identified with the Luthor character. Yikes. A couple other tidbits from Gunn's Superman world. The director says Supergirl, starring Millie Alcock, is on the schedule to be released in 2026. Superman, A Man of Tomorrow, will start filming in 2026 and be released in 2027. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers back at practice today, getting ready to head to Cleveland to face the Browns on Sunday. Baseball. It turns out that Bob Uecker, before he died, wrote a letter to the team that if the Brewers reached the playoffs, they could open and read it, which they did Saturday night in the clubhouse.
I got a letter today from Uke. Before we toast, I want to read it. Howdy, boys. Never a doubt you would get this invitation. You did it by believing. Really miss you guys, and I wish I was there. Things are good. The God Almighty picked me to be on his team up here, albeit I'm the third catcher. It's a great league. No day games after night games. No shadows. Told the big guy about you guys. Play hard every night. You're not afraid to play for each other. He's obviously very interested in the group with this uncommon goodness. Enjoy it, keep it light, and believe in each other.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show...
I'm back.
Oh yeah, that's right. Jane is back, and we catch up on all the news she missed while she was away. Join us.
Matinere on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 62. Tomorrow, sunshine, 78. On Wednesday, more sunshine with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, WGBW afternoon host and actor Eric Westfall joins in studio. Then Mental Health Warrior Film Festival founder Max Blaska joins. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Well, if you were worried that cool temperatures would remain in Wisconsin, you've got a surprise coming this week. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee. This is the Midwest Farm Report on a busy Monday morning. Lots of different subjects we're addressing today. Farmers getting ready for the harvest to really hit full pace here in the next couple of weeks. One of the major inputs they'll be looking for, diesel fuel. But what's the price looking like? Wisconsin dairy producers starting to feel the effects of changes in the federal milk marketing order. And now we're being advised they might see their milk processors wanting to negotiate with them a little bit. Stephanie Hoff has the details. And something special from Wisconsin. We know it's there. We know that there's something special from Wisconsin. But there's a program through the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection that elevates those stories. Kylie Allen found out more about that. That's just a taste of what you got on the way. Here's a taste of your weather. Today, sunshine, 84. Little bit of a breeze out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, sunshine, 84. Wednesday, sunshine, 83. Thursday, sunshine, 83. Welcome back, summer-like temperatures. For many Wisconsin farms, the harvest has already begun. Corn silage, something we take seriously, and so does Helena Agri. Dean Ebert is with West Bend's location of Helena Agri, and he's been out in fields taking a look at the standing crop as well as what's coming out of that chopper.
I'm looking at cobs. I'm looking at tip development. Was there shortages of nitrogen? I'm looking for those diseases, hybrid to hybrid. I'm looking at stand counts and looking at weed control. Those are all things that affect the end result with yield. So I make notes, talk to a lot of customers, talk about what do they change with tillage, no-till, cover crops, pre-emerge herbicides, and just, like I said, try to shore things up to be better for next year.
Dean Ebert, he's on staff at the West Bend location for Helena Agri. Seeing something in your fields you don't understand or have a question about, Helena Agri will respond. They're already starting to put together operating budgets for 2026. If you're curious, just ask. Go to HelenaAgri.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit RuralMutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
There's only one silage brand that's been raising the bar for over 30 years. There's only one silage seed lineup that's been designed, selected, and tested for optimal performance in Midwestern soils and conditions, and enjoyed by millions of cows across the region. You might be hearing about a lot of newcomers who promise more milk per ton and more tonnage per acre, but there's only one you should trust. Dairyland Seed High DF. Discover the High DF difference at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
Even though you get into Alaska where in the winter times 40, 50, 60 below zero temperatures, not all the animals like barns. So they don't have barns for animals like the muskox. Bob Bosel from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, standing in a muskox pasture with Danny Biersticker, who is originally from
Green Bay, Wisconsin.
So what brought you to Alaska?
I moved up here to finish my master's degree almost 12 years ago and never left.
How so, master's degree specifically to work with muskox, or how did that arrangement come to be?
Yeah, not originally muskox. I feel like from Wisconsin, we don't have a lot to go with those guys. So I moved up here to do my work in wildlife education for my thesis, found the muskox farm while I was doing that, and became enamored with these guys, and was lucky enough that they've kept me on for the last 10 years ever since.
So what got you enamored with the musk ox before we get into more detail about the animal. But what about the musk ox took you in?
Yeah, they are this amazing critter that first I feel like no one knows about. Even I went to school in Wisconsin, have a wildlife undergrad degree, did not learn about them. And so if I have an excuse not to know, then everyone should. But they all look very similar once you get past the fact that they're a weird-looking critter. But then you spend more time with them, and everyone has that little individual quirk that you can tell them apart. And then you get into their individual personalities, and they, for being such a quiet animal, they are so expressive and so unique that every one of the 75 muskox out here have their own personality and individual being. It's great.
And you say they are quiet, and I've been here many, many times, fortunate enough to do it. I've never heard them make a noise. Do they ever make a noise?
They do. It's just a little bit awkward. So a bull musk oxen rut, when it wants its lady friends to you to know that those are his, he's going to roar like a lion. It is an effective measure to be like, okay, it's yours. I shall go now. Everyone else, it's kind of this weird sound that all I can say is if you were to mix like Chewbacca from Star Wars and like a moose together, it's an awkward sound, but it works for them. But generally, they're pretty quiet.
And they are, for lack of a better term, an awkward-looking animal here. As you look at them, you think, oh, those animals must be 1,100, 1,200 pounds, but they're all hair.
They are, yeah, and I blame National Geographic. I'm going to throw them under the bus here. Like, I feel like we all have seen that picture of a muskox where it's this bull on a hilltop in the Arctic, and it's so majestic. The wind is sweeping through its hair, and you're like, man, that animal is massive. And then you show up here to the muskox farm, and they're about 4 to 5 feet tall, and they reach somewhere between about 400 or 500 pounds to upwards of 800 pounds for a bull, and it's just hair under all of that. There's not much to them.
And the farm is a research farm. It's not a farm to produce animals, send them to a processing plant where you get muskox sausage or anything like that. Tell us about the purpose of the muskox farm that you have here.
Yeah, so the muskox farm is a nonprofit, and we've been around since the kind of early 50s and 60s, and today, our big goal is both education and then fiber production. And so these guys produce a super fine fiber that we can hand comb off of them every spring. So they kind of have two big purposes, both show us an animal that most of us, including myself, never make it to see in the wild, and show a fiber animal out here. So yeah, never going to find a muskox meat on the menu, just a lot of hair.
And when you look at it, the hair of a muskox, people think, well, boy, they've got a lot of hair. You can get a lot of hair off it. But you're not taking the hair off the top or the back or the rump. Tell us what they produce every year that is so valuable, because it is, what, a fiber that's the most dense and the warmest fiber in the world.
You got it. Yeah. So Kiviut is their undercoat. And so it is over their entire bodies. But think about it like a double coated dog. They are going to have this that will keep them warm. Their outer shaggy coat stays all the time. And then every spring they blow their coat. And so they shed that undercoat, and we can bring them inside and hand comb them one at a time for that hair.
How receptive are they to that? Do they like that scratching, or being an animal that's used to being wild and free, do they like confinement?
So muskox out here have been practicing since they were calves for combing season. And so we work every single day for that when combing season hits, that they know what's happening. But at the end of the day, just like we all have good hair days and bad hair days, they do too. And so we're always listening to what they're telling us. So one day they might want to get combed for 2 minutes. Another day they're happy for 30. The choice is always there, so that they want to come back in the next day and get combed again from us.
How much Kiviut will you take? And you mentioned you comb it off mm-hmm. with like a plastic comb. I like to talk about people had Afro hairdos. That's the kind of comb you use. Mm-hmm. How much will you get? And then what do you do with it?
So we will end up, if you take our whole herd of 75 into account, about just over 300 pounds. So it's about 4 pounds per muskox. That will then get shipped to a fiber mill. So it will get spun into yarn. It will get shipped back to us here in Alaska. We'll have it made into garments, or we'll sell it as a yarn. And so we make it into things like scarves and hats and mittens that can keep us nice and warm, just like it kept a muskox nice and warm.
Who does that for you?
So our yarn is spun at a facility in Peru because they do an amazing job with fine fibers. And then our garments are made both here in Alaska, and then some are made down in Texas, and then some in Washington. So we have knitters all over the place.
So if you want to see them, you're invited out here if you come to Alaska in the Palmer area, not that far from Anchorage. So come on out and see the musk ox farm and see the musk ox and help support these animals because they're beautiful creatures. Danny, thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Danny Biersticker again. We're at the Muskox Farm in the Palmer area in Alaska. I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 4th, Native Nations asked the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the longstanding right of individuals to bring voting rights complaints to federal court. If the High Court takes the case, its decision could have consequences for voting rights protections under the Voting Rights Act. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians and the Spirit Lake Nation negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts which didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit Court decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. The decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the VRA. Of 450 VRA Section 2 cases since 1982, only 18 were brought by DOJ. May 14th, a three-judge appeals panel affirmed that decision, but still only for the Eighth Circuit. After a July 15th stay, the nations asked the High Court on September 4th to take the case. Spirit Lake Nation Chair Lana Jackson Street said, "It is shameful that when we succeeded in court and got a fair map in place, the state turned its attack toward the Voting Rights Act and a person's right to vote free from discrimination. We need the Supreme Court to protect our fundamental right to vote and be heard." We have our past reports on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, "Let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement." Well, that's civic media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community, and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news and sports headlines and discuss Suicide Awareness Month and why the rates keep going up in the state of Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
A slice of paradise in the rural community. Visit Compeer.com to get started. We're getting started with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist. Yeah, I'm getting some rainfall reports this morning. 3/4 of an inch in Fitchburg. That would have been as of, Friday, Saturday. Valders, about 1/2 inch rain. 4/10 in the Alto area. And a lot of movement of farm equipment because it's not that much rain.
No, it's not that much rain, Pam. I did see get about 1/2 inch, John, over here at Armstrong, just east of Fond du Lac. And Racine had 6,800ths of an inch that Friday night, Saturday morning. But that's behind us. We've dried it out, and I know the work rolled on already Saturday afternoon and Sunday, and it will go on this morning. Everybody's out there trying to get things done, hay making, corn silage, manure hauling, whatever the case. We've got a pretty fair week in store. There is a front out in western Minnesota this morning. That front will push east toward Wisconsin. But as it does, it's going to weaken. Its punch is going to be lost a bit as it tries to make that way east. Rain is still out only in western North Dakota, north central South Dakota. Oh, there's some shower south down in northern Missouri. But otherwise, I don't expect we have to talk about much of a rain chance. A possibility could slip into far western Wisconsin on toward late today. I wouldn't count on much of that. I'd say we're all talking about later Wednesday in the western and northwest part of the state, and then maybe toward later Friday across the rest of the state. rain doesn't appear to be too heavy. These systems aren't going to come flying through, bringing all kinds of moisture and dumping a lot of rain. They're going to try to build in, run into some interference from high pressure still strong out to our east. We're going to hear about those folks in the northeast U.S. getting those warm temperatures that we've seen already this weekend. It's starting up there now, and they're going to get their share of warmth as well. And that does tend to hold rain a bit further to our west in this setup. So we get a few more dry and warm days. If you're closer to the lake shore, the Lake Michigan shore, that's where it's going to be a bit cooler. Easterly breezes, southeast and east winds off that lake will cool us all along the lake shore. Everybody else is going to have some summertime weather heading up into the 80s. Some rain chances maybe in the west, far west, late today. And then later Wednesday into Wednesday night, pushing into the northwest and central part of the state. And toward the end of the week, finally in the east and south, there may be some chances of rain. The weekend, I expect, does feature at least some hit or miss showers. So if you're trying to get work done, you can get it done in the next several days. Now's the time that moisture chance could finally start to show up statewide as we especially look on toward the weekend. That's the time we can look forward to. Until then, just warm and mild. It will be cooling as some of these systems move through. I expect Friday and the weekend start to cool down, well, back to more normal levels at least. I'll check our forecast details right after this.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in, all season.
Este otoño regresa Expo en Español a World Dairy Expo, el evento pensado especialmente para propietarios, gerentes y supervisores hispanohablantes del sector lechero. Del martes 30 de septiembre al viernes 3 de octubre, conéctate a las 2 de la tarde, cada día para participar en sesiones 100% en español, con presentaciones de expertos y espacios para preguntas y respuestas. El programa incluye temas especiales como buenas prácticas para el bienestar animal con el doctor Adrián Barragán, el arte de la ciencia del ordeño con la doctora Paula Ospina, liderazgo en el trabajo diario con Juan Quesada y los efectos del estrés por el calor con la doctora Jimena Laporta. Asiste en persona durante el World Dairy Expo o síguelo en línea a través del Expo TV en worlddairyexpo.com. Aprende, comparte y mejora tu lechería con Expo en Español.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb SmartStax and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility?
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand four-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFinn Technologies were born and patented this century with a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low shear pumping along with efficient, high capacity and long seal life. Bopeller pumps for all your applications will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer today.
All righty, Stu, let's have that forecast.
Absolutely. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update does call for sunny skies in the south and east today, and temps ought to push up into the 80s. In the far west, there is a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm late today or into the evening. There'll be a few more clouds there, but even so, we'll be in the low and mid 80s in far western Wisconsin. Southeast winds at 5 to 10. Overnight, we'll stay fairly clear of those clouds in the far west, and we drop down toward the upper 50s or low 60s with a very light east breeze. On Tuesday, more sunshine. There'll be a lot of low and mid-80s with the southeast breezes about 5. And even Wednesday, Pam, sunny skies in the south and east up in the mid-80s. That small chance of a late afternoon shower or thunderstorm starts pushing in the northwest and west Wednesday into Wednesday night. And certainly all of us by the weekend could see a little hit or miss rain, Pam. But anything earlier this week, I don't think will be too heavy.
Yeah, this looks beautiful to get the job done. But temperatures, like you said, might surprise you by the time we get to Saturday, huh?
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, we'll be back in the mid-70s. Wow. It's going to seem like September.
This is above average, though, the temps we're looking at this week, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. These 80s, we should be in the low to mid-70s at best, Pam. And here okay. We're looking at mid-80s. It's warm.
We flip-flopped it a little bit then. All right. Sounds fine by me. We got stuff to do, so I'm good with this. All right, my friend, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
You bet. See you later.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, joining us for your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Our talk text line is open. Chime in. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Glad to hear from all of you.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of The Maggie Dawn Show, where she talks with UW Madison's Dr. Chuck Nicholson.
Let's talk about the labor market and sort of like the 1-2 punch that is affecting the agricultural industry, specifically farmers and dairy farmers here in Wisconsin. Not only do you have this chaos, this uncertainty, this much higher expense, much lower appetite from the people that we sell our dairy products to buy them because it is reciprocal tariffs, hence a trade war is what it's called. We have that punch, and we have this 1-2 punch coming from the Trump administration. Frankly, looking at worker shortages this summer, potentially. We're looking at these massive cuts to the Supplemental Nutritional and Food Assistance Program, or Emergency Food Assistance, SNAP, where farmers in Door County and in every county in Wisconsin where there are farmers would sell directly into places that were providing school lunches. Those programs are being gutted. Is this really kind of a perfect storm that Donald Trump has created for farmers?
So we have the possibility you mentioned of lower prices because we can't sell as much of our product outside of the U.S. We have the, and actually through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs, we actually sell a fair amount of dairy products through those kinds of food and nutrition programs, including the school lunch and school breakfast programs. And then we have the possibility of increased costs for equipment and some other inputs. And then we also have the possibility of both labor shortage and higher wage costs related to immigration policy. So if you kind of put that together, the package is not a sort of a rosy picture. In any situation that you can think of, we may have lower prices, we may have higher input costs. Those are things that have a direct impact on the margins for dairy farmers and other farmers in the state. And actually, we could say the same thing related to higher input costs and lower market prices for dairy processors, the folks who make cheese and put it in the packages and take it to the grocery store or take it to your local pizza restaurant. So the combination of these things is not working favorably. I guess one of the things that I kind of like to point out to people is that the policies that we have in place are really more kind of collateral damage when we think about what's going on with agriculture. They're not designed to address problems in agriculture really specifically. They're not designed to help policies in agriculture. They're designed to affect kind of these bigger macro and global politics type power type issues. And so agriculture is not kind of in the driver's seat when it comes to thinking about how they're going to be affected by the various policies that are being discussed right now.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
CBS News Brief. Family and friends of the suspect in the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk say they believe he was radicalized in the dark corners of the internet. CBS's Andres Gutierrez.
22-year-old Tyler Robinson is not cooperating with law enforcement. His family and those that are close to him are cooperating, and in particular his roommate, who is also his romantic companion.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are meeting in Israel in the wake of last week's surprise attack targeting Hamas negotiators in Qatar.
The U.S.-Israeli relationship is very strong. It continues to be strong.
The Pitt, Stephen Colbert, and Seth Rogen's The Studio, big winners at last night's Emmy Awards on CBS. Rogen spoke when he accepted.
The way that we make this show, everyone really has to come together in sort of a glorious fashion. And so thank you all for your hard work. This would not be possible without all of you.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Packers back in action. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers back at practice today, getting ready to head to Cleveland to face the Browns on Sunday. Baseball. It turns out that Bob Uecker, before he died, wrote a letter to the team that if the Brewers reached the playoffs, they could open and read it, which they did Saturday night in the clubhouse.
I got a letter today from Uke. Before we toast, I want to read it. Howdy, boys. Never a doubt you would get this invitation. You did it by believing. Really miss you guys, and I wish I was there. Things are good. The God Almighty picked me to be on his team up here, albeit I'm the third catcher. It's a great league. No day games after night games. No shadows. Told the big guy about you guys. Play hard every night. You're not afraid to play for each other. He's obviously very interested in a group with this uncommon goodness. Enjoy it, keep it light, and believe in each other.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Robert Craig from Citizen Action on healthcare cuts and Jocasta Zamarripa, candidate for Wisconsin Secretary of State.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 76 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 62. Tomorrow, sunshine, 78. On Wednesday, more sunshine with a high right around 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent segment of the Maggie Dawn Show about a proposed bill that would affect local farmers.
Folks, if you're just joining us, I'm joined this half hour by Senator Brad Pfaff of the 32nd State Senate District. He has introduced three key pieces of legislation this cycle to help support Wisconsin farmers and families. Let's talk a little bit about a few of the bills that you've introduced this year. I want to start with the most recent one because it's so incredibly important in light of what's going on federally. It is the Agricultural Purchase Program. Tell folks a little bit about it.
I did introduce legislation that, again, links consumers with our family farmers. It recognizes that this piece of legislation that was jammed through Congress last week is going to have an impact, and I would say a negative impact, on too many individuals that through no fault of their own are seeking food assistance at different times in their life. And so what this piece of legislation does is very simple. It provides grants to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, and then the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture would work with local food organizations in order to provide financial assistance. And those local food organizations then would contract directly with local farmers to receive the bring in the food that they seek. May it be meats, may it be milk, may it be cheeses, may it be maple syrup, whatever it may be. And so, again, it is trying to broaden out the supply chain. as far as with agriculture, and at the same time, it's linking family farmers with consumers. And I think that is so very important. And what it's also doing is it recognizes during when there are challenges and dips in the marketplace and people are down on their luck, that we're just not throwing people to the street. We're recognizing the fact in a wealthy nation and a state like Wisconsin that grows food, we want to make sure that we can feed our neighbors.
People, because we have been rightly focused on the big brutal bill, as well as the state's biennial budget, people forget that one of the first things that Donald Trump did was cut all kinds of aid programs willy-nilly through executive orders, and it ended up immediately hurting Wisconsin farmers because we literally had food rotting in storage houses, not getting to the people that need the food. This most recent bill is called the Agricultural Purchase Program. It's a bill to establish a $30 million fund within the Department of Agriculture, again, to make sure that families in need of emergency food assistance in the state get it, and that they get that food assistance from our family farms.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
1070 AM. The Zone.
I'll tell you what, it's not necessarily something that happens every day. A dairy farm negotiating for their milk price. In fact, it's probably not happened much in your history, but it could in the future. These are part of changes being brought about by the federal milk marketing order. Stephanie Hoff's going to take a little deeper dive on that for you on a Monday morning. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 15th day of September. Happy birthday to screenwriter, sometimes actor, Oliver Stone. He turned 79. And former college roommate at Harvard to Al Gore, Tommy Lee Jones, 79 years young today. Happy birthday. You know, it's a happy occasion when we can talk about Wisconsin businesses that are thriving, especially those promoting Wisconsin. Kylie Allen's got an update on one of those very businesses.
A livestock farm turned Christmas tree and maple syrup operation isn't a story that you hear every day. In the late 1990s, Dave Cook transitioned his family's cattle and hog operation to a choose-and-cut Christmas tree farm. But they also specialize in maple syrup. Dave is the owner and operator of Cook's Woods, and he tells us how they began making maple syrup.
That project started out as just a curiosity. We had two distinct stands of hardwood trees on our farm, and one of them had a lot of maple trees growing in it. There again, chance, you know, dumb luck, you know, go plant them, you know, trees in order that are taffable size for sap, maple sap, have to be, yeah, they have to be out there, they have to be pretty good age. So I was just playing at first, just an interest, and once a few people found out I was making it, they wanted it. So, all right, maybe we have an enterprise here, and explored that a little more. And turns out, yeah, we if you make it, they will buy it if you do a good job.
Why don't you walk me through, Dave? You mentioned some things that you have to really be able to hone in on when you're selling a product such as maple syrup. How did Something Special from Wisconsin help you?
With the marketing, it was at least as simple as getting our name out there. At that point in time, not that I'm an expert now, but I didn't know anything about how to get listed anywhere, or what opportunities, and also to come to understand what was a realistic goal here. We were a very small producer in the world of maple syrup. We're off the charts small. And so some goals weren't realistic.
And tell me, what are some of the benefits that you can point to and say Something Special from Wisconsin helped me with that?
The one thing that the big thing about Something Special these days for me in the I have to focus here again on the Christmas enterprise, is that they provide advertising, broad, top of mind imagery. They tap audiences that any one of us growers would never be able to afford to tap. We're it for us, it's mostly a local-esque experience. You know, we draw heavily from maybe a 40 or 50 mile radius, but the imagery goes much further than that. And we do get people, the demographics now that is fascinating, where you'll get, we'll get day trippers day trip, and they'll come from 100, 150 miles away just to get a tree and do something different. And then, you know, the Something Special program is able to throw that message out there a lot further. And I guess I kind of look at it like, if it's good for any one of us, it's good for me.
Dave Cook, the owner and operator of Cook Woods, on the benefits his business has seen from Something Special from Wisconsin. You can find the program on Facebook at Something Special from Wisconsin or online at somethingspecialwi.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
We're number one! We're number one!
The Pioneer brand Vore seedless corn team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
There's only one silage brand that's been raising the bar for over 30 years. There's only one silage seed lineup that's been designed, selected, and tested for optimal performance in Midwestern soils and conditions, and enjoyed by millions of cows across the region. You might be hearing about a lot of newcomers who promise more milk per ton and more tonnage per acre, but there's only one you should trust. Dairyland Seed High DF. Discover the high DF difference at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. On Friday, our dairy markets were in a tough spot. Barrel cheese dropped 2.25 cents to 161.25. 40-pound black cheese was down a half at 161.5. Double A butter down 6.75 cents to finish at 186 a pound. Not much better this morning. Currently, October class 3 milk that goes into cheese down a penny, 16.31. November's down a penny, 16.20. The December corn crop down 4 right now at 4.26. November soybeans are down 3.5 at 10.43. The December wheat's unchanged at 5.23. July new crop wheat also unchanged at 5.61 a bushel. Want to remind my livestock producers, tomorrow and Wednesday, the two live and virtual hearings talking about proposed fee increases for the livestock yards you market your cattle to, the truck haulers that take care of moving your cattle, and the dealers that buy your cattle. Looking at as much as a 1,666% increase on fees. More details available on our website, Midwest Farm Report, also at equitycoop.com. Please plan on attending these meetings that are both live and virtual, 1 p.m. Tuesday and Wednesday at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection Building. Again, like I said, more details, Midwest Farm Report or equitycoop.com.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Maggie Dawn.
We're joined at 5 p.m. by Wisconsin Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ryan Sternad. We dig into why he's running and what he proposes for Wisconsin's future.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Herbo has for us on MidwestFarmReport.com is about diesel cost. As you can imagine, when the harvest is in full swing, Wisconsin farms are going through an awful lot of petrol, diesel being a big consumer for our large farm equipment. Jason Schwantz is the Senior Vice President of Energy for CHS Cooperative, and he's advising farms because of escalating costs and refineries that are going through revamping. You might want to take a look at laying in your diesel supplies now.
I think we're going to kind of be in this trough here. Fuel is a little more expensive, but from a year ago, it's actually down. So I think right now is actually a good time to buy. I think supply is going to get tighter as we go into that harvest, because you're just going to have heavy, heavy demand. And from everything I've heard, there is an extremely good corn and soybean crop out there, which I think everybody is very happy about. I don't know that they're exactly happy about where the commodity prices are at, but hopefully we can have a bountiful harvest and have a really good crop out there. But it's going to take a lot of fuel to go over that crop.
Jason Schwantz, he is the Senior Vice President of Energy for CHS Cooperative. He said, well, some of the major diesel refineries went through retooling this summer. Others will be going through that same process coming up this fall. That's one of the reasons why he's encouraging farmers try to capitalize on the volumes available now at prices available now. Talk to your local dealer. Coming up in just a little bit, Stephanie Hoff's going to join us. Wisconsin dairy farmers may find themselves in negotiation for the price they're being paid on their milk. That's around the corner.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand Voorseed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Voorseed Enlist beats DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro yields by an average of 7.1 bushels per acre across more than 24,000 comparisons, right?
Yes, Coach!
And Voorseed Enlist has three modes of action against corn rootworm.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Zimbrick Chevrolet, Dane County's number one volume Chevy dealer with over 70 new Chevy trucks to choose from. Zimbrick Chevrolet East Madison, Sun Prairie, and ZimbrickChevrolet.com. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated.
But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel, all in, all season.
Here's another agriculture acronym for you, FMMO. It stands for Federal Milk Marketing Orders, and it basically sets the rules for how milk is priced across the country, affecting farmers, processors, and ultimately consumers. A historical update on these orders took effect June 1st, and now that we've been under an updated FMMO for a few months, what has it meant for dairy farmers here in Wisconsin? Mike Brown joins us. He serves as the president for Dairy Market Intelligence at TC Jacoby & Company. Mike recalls early projections that the latest adjustment would decrease Class 3 milk prices by up to 90 cents a hundredweight. That's roughly 7.5 cents per gallon. He acknowledges some farmers may have experienced that, but there are still several factors at play influencing milk prices today, and that includes ongoing price negotiations between processors and producers. Mike reminds us that regardless, the FMMO update was essential.
What happened is that the surveys that determine what it costs to make cheese, whey, non-fat dry milk, and butter hadn't been updated since 2007. Well, needless to say, costs have gone up since then, and we waited way too long to have a hearing. But the high inflation that we saw in the early 2020s, I think, really exacerbated the issue for a lot of people. So the hearing was held, and there was new surveys of costs that were done using the same format as the ones that were used actually back in 2007. There wasn't really a change in anything other than it was updated information. USDA is required under federal orders to keep prices contemporary with value, and they were seeing problems. One of the things, Stephanie, if you look at all milk prices, which is the price farmers actually get paid, versus the regulated minimum prices adjusted for the fat and protein levels of milk, they were significantly negative. What does that mean? Is that even cooperatives could not afford to pay for milk with the federal government said it was worth, and co-ops are allowed to reblend, so they were paying less. A lot of plants actually quit using the federal order because they couldn't afford to pay the regulated price for milk. They were losing money. So the hearings, the process needed to be updated.
Now that the updated federal milk marketing orders have been in effect for a few months, Mike is seeing several trends leading up to the first of the year that impact the dairy supply chain.
What I'm seeing, talking with folks all over the country, is several things. First of all, we have cooperatives working hard to, because if they manufacture now, the costs, the price of milk, regular price, is more in a line with what their returns are. They can adjust those deducts, and over time, I expect they're going to lessen. Second thing you're seeing for cooperatives that sell milk directly to plants, they are now negotiating adjustment in that premium, which, by the way, for most plants had gone away. A lot of them, the premium was basically zero because that's the only way the plant could basically cash flow. So what's happening now is that because most farms, milk supply co-ops, and starting 1st of January, they don't all, there's been some summer ones as well, those negotiations are happening. So you may see some of that adjustment in that price coming back later in the year.
Mike also questions whether the federal milk marketing order for Class 3 milk producers will stay relevant given the value in cheese.
I think they need to understand their relevance in the upper Midwest is pretty low. We're 6 to 8% Class 1 utilization in this market. Because of depooling, basically, if you're a butter powder plant and your market's significantly stronger than cheese, you don't pool your milk. If cheese is significantly stronger, you don't pool your cheese. So they're becoming less and less relevant. Even with the changes, they're becoming less relevant. And in the long run, what determines what milk can be paid for and what farmers will benefit from is really two things I see. One is, what's the value of the products I make? Wisconsin does a good job adding value on the cheese side, which gives them a little more money, helps make up that whey problem that they're all dealing with. The other side of that is, how much milk do I have relative to demand for product? And when milk production gets really strong, it's like, it's just like with cheese. When you have more Swiss cheese chasing the market than there's demand, premiums go down. Well, same with milk. If there's more milk than the plants can process profitably, premiums will go down. Over time, we've had great growth in Wisconsin. I don't see that changing. We're still, the Midwest still has the advantage, the broader Midwest, as far as competitiveness in the business due to location and basically water is a big part of that. I see us continuing to have, I think we'll continue to grow our share, actually, the broader Midwest of the total milk supply. But you'll have your ups and downs. I think what's important when you look at that regulated price, what you paid for your milk, and I think your farmers are asking the right question. Why has this changed? What does it mean? It's important to look at the revenue side, too, and what's going on with our processors in the state, particularly our specialty processors who don't have the ability to process whey to its full value. And even the cream market right now is very weak. So even though the price of butter has obviously dropped a lot, cream multiples are also poor. So they're losing money on their cream as well. It's getting harder to make that up on the cheese side, partly because food service demand. The demand for cheese, all the growth is export, and that's all commodity. It's basically Gouda, cheddars, and mozzarella for the most part. Mm. So if you're making anything but that, they're struggling more with demand than the big commodity guys are.
He says ultimately growing markets for cheese and bringing more value to whey, a byproduct of cheese production, is what's going to bring more money to Class 3 dairy farmers. This is predominantly Wisconsin's dairy farm makeup. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. Mike also expects negotiated contracts between farmers and milk buyers leading up to the first of the year will bring in some premiums. Mike Brown is the Vice President for Dairy Market Intelligence at TC Jacoby & Company. For the Midwest Farmery Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
A follow-up on Farm Bureau's Washington fly-in today on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support helped turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health Campaign. You farmers and ranchers are used to taking risks. You know there's a certain probability that livestock could get a disease or a crop could be wiped out in a storm. But we also want you to think about the safety and health risks you face daily and take steps to beat the odds. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Hundreds of Farm Bureau members from around the country visited with federal officials and members of Congress in Washington last week. It was to show the folks in D.C. that their help is needed in farming America. I reconnected with Doug Somke, president of the South Dakota Farm Bureau, for his takeaway.
This is not a good time to be in agriculture, I'm just saying. Unless you're a diversified farm with cattle and maybe some other meat protein areas that aren't hit as bad or maybe faring a little better. But that's not the world we're in today for the most part. For the most part, South Dakotans are more specialized in agriculture. And right or wrong, we got to find a better way.
Somke says he feels the message got through.
For the most part, there was no pushback. I think people were trying to learn, but you know, they've got a pretty big plate full. I mean, it's not just this problem. You got the possibility of a shutdown coming up. And if they don't fund the government, that's going to be a problem. And then also the Farm Bill itself expires. They're going to have to do something about that.
Somke says many of agriculture's problems are not just something for Washington to fix. He suggests that the government and farmers and others in the ag industry may need to pivot from some long-standing ways of doing business in order to compete globally. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show...
I'm back.
Oh yeah, that's right. Jane is back, and we catch up on all the news she missed while she was away. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Hunters, beware what you eat. Wisconsin health officials have issued a new consumption advisory for ducks harvested on Green Bay. Testing shows mallard and wood ducks on the bay are contaminated with toxic PFAS forever chemicals. UW-Madison researchers have linked contamination in the bay to Tyco fire products near Marinette. A key research center on the Mississippi River is falling prey to big federal cuts targeting science. The French Island facility, known as an ecosystem research area, produces information on water quality, invasive species, wildlife diseases, and more. Heavy cuts to the program take effect on October 1st and could effectively eliminate more than a century of scientific research. Knowledge is power. Right now on the Defender podcast, $150 million is available to help Wisconsinites upgrade their homes and cut energy use. Learn how to get started at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News brief.
Heavens are roaring.
A vigil at the Kennedy Center for conservative activist Charlie Kirk, House Speaker Mike Johnson.
The best way to honor his memory and honor his unmatched legacy is to live as Charlie did.
Investigators say the 22-year-old suspected gunman is not cooperating with their probe. A financial request in the wake of Kirk's assassination. CBS's Willie James Inman.
So the Trump administration is requesting $58 million in emergency funding for security for the executive branch and funding to protect judges.
15-year-old British actor Owen Cooper, now the youngest male Emmy winner ever. He took last night's prize for Netflix, Adolescence.
It may have my name on this wall, but it really belongs to the people behind the camera and Stephen and all that, all the cast. So, yeah, and I hope you all have an amazing night and good night.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.